Good morning. Welcome to the visitors this morning. We have some from Vermont. It's a real blessing. Thank you all for coming out this morning. This morning, the title of this little meditation is How Do I Invest? How do I invest? The story is told of a young man who had saved up a small amount of money, and he wanted to invest it. So he spent a bunch of time reading what he could about publicly traded companies, and he discovered a small company which seemed to have potential. So he spent several months researching everything he could about this company, and he became convinced that this small company had big potential for growth. So he acted on his belief and he invested all of his money into this little company. Not long after this, his work took him overseas where he spent the next 20 years. Consequently, he left his investments in the hands of a brokerage company and told them to reinvest any dividends the company paid. His work consumed all of his time and he heard very little from home. And he hardly ever thought about the investment he had made. But he believed he had done the research and the company would do well. Thus, whenever he had a bit of money saved, he would send it back home to be invested in this company. After his years of work was complete in the foreign country, he returned home. But as he exited the plane and walked into the airport, he saw a small crowd of people waiting for him with welcome signs. He was surprised to see so many people waiting for him, and he couldn't understand why, until they told him they were from the company he had invested his money in. This little company had experienced incredible growth, and because of his early and consistent investments, he was now a percentage owner with stock options worth millions. So how do I invest? Did you know that Jesus teaches us to invest and how to invest? Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, I've been studying the parables of Christ now for a few months, and this parable stood out to me more than it ever has before, and I have spent quite a lot of time rereading it and meditating on it. I would point out this is not the same parable as Jesus tells in Matthew 25 about the talents. Although there are many similarities, he tells it at different times and I think for different reasons, and it's not the same parable. But we don't have time to get into that this morning. Luke chapter 19, breaking in at verse 11. And as they heard these things, and we'll come back to that, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow? Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Of all the things we could focus on from this passage, this morning we want to look at the differences of investing between the three servants that are mentioned here. Notice there were 10 servants. We only find out about 3 of them here. All 3 servants are judged based on their investment strategies. The judgment of the first 2 for wisely investing is being told, well done, and given more work to do. Have authority over 10 cities. Notice the reward for good investments was not relaxation, ease, and a trip to the Bahamas. It was more responsibility. The same could apply for the future. Perhaps heaven is not just singing and mansions and harps and clouds, but actually more responsibility. Just something to think about. The third servant is judged very harshly. Not for wasting and abusing the money given him, but simply for not investing it, not putting to use what his Lord had given him. He is not rewarded, but rather loses even the little he has. Now, if you remember, verse 11 says, as they heard these things, what things? Go back to the beginning of the chapter, and let's find out. See if we can discover what things they had just heard. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you notice the difference in attitude between Zacchaeus and that last servant? Let's look at a few differences. Zacchaeus desperately wants to see Jesus. He even climbs a tree. He could have just said, well, God didn't make me tall, so I guess he doesn't want me to see him. He receives Jesus joyfully. He is happy to have Jesus into his home for a meal. It's not recorded that Jesus asked him about his dealings, but Zacchaeus stood and said, I'm giving half to the poor. And if I've defrauded, I'm giving away fourfold, which I look back into the law to see if that's what the law said, and best I could tell, it was only required half for fraud, with the possible exception of cattle. I think it was horses and cattle were the 2 things that were more than that. But everything else was double. And Zacchaeus saying, I'm giving 4 times back. And half to the poor was certainly way more than what the law would have required. I think it was just the corners of your field or whatever. On the other hand, the servant was not desperate to see his Lord. He was not the first or the second. He might have been the last of the 10. He says he was afraid. And then he accuses the Lord of being rough, harsh, and foolish. and he hid away his money in a handkerchief. So do you see, their investment strategies were exactly the opposite. Because the servant thinks his Lord to be severe, he fears, and he hides away what was given him. He does not invest, and appears upset that his Lord would even ask that of him. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, thinks Jesus to be righteous. He is full of joy, not fear. And so he gives away far more than the law required of him. And then the one receives salvation, and the other damnation. Something I found interesting, I didn't know this, but I found this in a message that Earl Palmer preached about the Gospel of the Nazarene. There were a number of Gospels that were written in the second century that did not make it into the canon due to errors and different false doctrines that were being promoted by them. And in the Gospel of the Nazarene, this parable was told almost exactly the same with one change. And I found that change very interesting. At the end, it says that the last servant was one who squandered the money on harlots and flute players. You know, it's the thinking of the writer could have been, you know, our Lord's parable is too bland the way it is. Let's strengthen it and make that third worker really guilty so we can justify him being judged so harshly. But I think in doing that, he missed the point entirely. That's not what the servant did. He didn't waste it. Certainly not on flute players. I mean, that might not have even been a waste. No, he just didn't do anything with it. So, if you want to become rich in this world, we have to spend money in order to make more money. We don't get rich by saving money. And the same goes for the spiritual. We must give in order to receive. Find the servant, the giver, find the person pouring out their lives, and you will find the one who is blessed, both now and in eternity. How do you invest? There's another person I couldn't help but think of who acted very much the same way as this servant did and blamed it on fear, and that's Adam. You know, the first emotion that the Bible records of man having towards God is fear. Both Adam and the servant with the 1 pound tell God they were afraid. They both hide. Adam himself, the servant his pound. Adam because he was naked, the servant because he thought God to be a severe man. And I almost shared this from the standpoint of fear. But if nothing else, the takeaway could be we make poor decisions when we are afraid. The old investment adage of not putting all your eggs in one basket, it really comes from a heart of fear. And while that may hold true for the physical, God asks us for all our eggs. Everything or nothing at all. Guess what? He never drops the basket. So, how do I invest? Well, God has spoken to me through this parable. He has convicted me of, at times, being the man with the pound of money in the napkin. Because I have struggled with feelings toward God that are similar to the servant in this parable. I have felt at times that God doesn't account for everything. I have told God, I don't know how I can accept the things the way I understand them. I've told him that I don't think things add up. I need more evidence. That it takes too much blind faith to believe the gospel as I understand it. But you know what God told me in this parable. He said to me the same thing the master tells the servant. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter that things don't add up. Even if I'm the type of person that you say I am, even if I'm unjust, that is not an excuse not to do the right thing. Even if I'm the type of person that takes what isn't mine, and you feel that all the work of investing will be a waste because in the end you won't be able to keep the profits, at least put it in the savings account to accrue interest. Yes, it would be much better to be investing, trading, working, and making the most of what I gave you. But even if you're not doing all that, under no circumstance is it okay to take what I give you and hide it. It doesn't matter what type of God I am. If I'm a good master or an evil master, my response towards servants who don't invest will be the same. Being an uninvested servant is not an option. Do you get the point? If you believe there is a God, and that there is an eternity waiting based on your actions, then regardless of who God is, or how righteous he is, the only option in life is serving Christ. The only question left is, will I invest in the kingdom for the king with the heart of Zacchaeus? Or will I hide what God has given me and refuse to invest? So as it always seems to, this too comes back to how do I view God? Because my view of God will affect my investment strategies. There's a lot we could make practical, but that'll have to wait for a longer message. So in closing, think about Hebrews 11:6 with me. The narrator of Hebrews 11 stops in the middle of this beautiful monologue on the legends of faith and throws this in. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's it, isn't it? Do I have the faith to invest in Christ's kingdom? Do I believe that God is who he says he is? Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness? Or have I created my own God who is severe, unmerciful, and foolish? Do I believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him and invest back into his kingdom? Or do I believe that ultimately, God takes what isn't his, that investing for him is not worth my effort? And maybe most importantly, what is my attitude as I invest? Am I fearful and worried? Or am I hopeful and joyful as Zacchaeus was? Happy to give everything away in faith that God will be a just rewarder.